Greetings, everyone, and praise be Jesus Christ. This summer marked the 45th anniversary of the movie Jaws. That summer, when many people hit the sandy beaches, they were scared to death to go into the water. As the fearful story of that great white shark lurked off of the Atlantic Ocean. The music, the drama, the screenplay of Steven Spielberg and that famous movie still resounds. Of course, in 2020, Jaws is a bit less terrifying. Perhaps we are more mature. Certainly, technology and special effects have come a long way. But it seems to me as though we still have much bigger fish to be worried about. Things like COVID and politics, social discord that fills the air. If only those fish were limited to the water and not everyday life. But with 24-hour news cycle, with social media, and with a year that keeps delivering scandals and challenges galore, we may be feeling a little bit like the men on Orca, the boat that hunted Jaws. And we might say like them, we need a bigger boat. If that's what you're feeling in these days, I'd suggest that that's not such a bad thing. Chances are, we do. We need a bigger boat. And in some way, shape, or form, the gospel, our Christian faith, provides. And this weekend, we are invited to embrace that bigger boat as we see firsthand the generosity of our good and gracious God. To be clear, today's gospel has nothing to do with the ocean. It's not about sharks. Rather, it's something more beautiful. For the second week in a row, Jesus teaches us with a parable. Last week, we heard that disturbing parable about the man who was forgiven so much and turned around and refused to forgive the one that owed him very little. It was easy to be mad at that guy. Today's gospel, when we hear about the workers in the vineyard, the owner who gave the same wage to all of them, we too might be a little mad at this owner. But we're challenged. It's harder to be mad at that guy, because he, of course, is the image of God himself, God the Father. Many things can be said about this parable. Perhaps those workers learned to get more specific on their wage and their agreement. I wonder how many would have come back the next day and at what time would they have come. But none of that is really the point of the parable. The big story is not the workers, but the owner. And his desire that all would have a share in his work, that all would be invited to know and to be present to his vineyard, his field. And his generosity, his desire, it shines through in this gospel. We're introduced today to the wideness, the bigness of God's kingdom and his desire that we have a share in it. One Bible that I have calls this parable the story of the master who seeks his workers. And my friends, you and I are those workers. God seeks us. He calls us. And no matter the hour, no matter the time, God has a desire that we would be with him. And it's time that you and I seek God, that we say yes, that we respond to this call, to this work. For there is no other God. And the fact that the living God, the only God, the true God calls us, that's good news. We know that there is joy in his kingdom. There is peace in following his call. And there is fulfillment in him. Of all the many things that clamor for our attention and our time, of all the things that are begging us to come to them, the call of God, the being with him, makes all the difference. It is the key to confident, secure love. And in a world where security is spelled as sanitizer or masks, in a world where so very little things are secure and fear reigns, it would do us well to know the security, the providence, the care of Almighty God, to be workers in his vineyard. There's a great fruit that comes from that, and that is security, peace of mind. In light of the news of Justice Ginsburg's death and all the tumult that that is creating now, more tumult in this 2020, more tumult in our news and country, I'd like to share with you a story that I read in regards to Justice Ginsburg. And specifically, her relationship to Antonin Scalia. As you know, they were quite opposites on the political spectrum. He, a self-described gregarious conservative, and she, a self-described flaming feminist litigator. They were friends, colleagues. Prior to the Supreme Court, they served together on the D.C. Circuit of Appeals. They socialized together. They traveled together. They enjoyed the opera together. Every New Year's Eve, their families partied together. They shared humor as well. And there's a story that I read today. Justice Scalia's son shared it on his Twitter feed. It's the story of Judge Jeffrey Sutton, who was a friend of Scalia. He had met him, and during his last visit with him, Sutton describes the experience. He writes, "I saw striking evidence of the Scalia-Ginsburg relationship. As I got up to leave his chambers, Scalia pointed to 24 roses on his table and noted that he needs to take them down to Ruth for her birthday. Wow, said Sutton. I doubt I have given a total of 24 roses to my wife in almost 30 years of marriage. You ought to try sometime, Scalia retorted. And unwilling to give him the last word, I pushed back. So what good have all these roses done for you? Name 5154 case of any significance where you got Ginsburg's vote. Scalia answered, some things are more important than votes. My friends, votes are important. Truth and goodness and beauty are important. But even more important is our charity. Even more important is being part of that kingdom of God and the bigness of his vineyard. This week, let us hear his call, and let us pray to have the grace to be big enough to heed it. God be with you.